भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 3-9। पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्रह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधव स इदानीं सुमहता काले पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्रह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधवः पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्रह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधवः पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्राह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधव पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो ब्राह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधव पुरा किल महाबाहो पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्रह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधव माताजी पुरा किल महाबाहो धर्मं परमकं प्रभो यत्तेन हंसरूपेण ब्रह्मणे भ्यात्तमाधव। द नेक्स्ट वर्स आई जस्ट रीड। स इदानं सुमहता काले नामित्रकर्षण न प्रायो भविता मर्त्या लोके प्राग अनुशासितः। वर्ड बाय वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। पुरा प्रीवियसली किला इंडीड महाबाहो ओ माइटी आर्म्ड वन धर्मम रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स परमकम ब्रिंगिंग द ग्रेटेस्ट हैप्पीनेस प्रभो माय लॉर्ड यत विच तेन बाय दैट हंस रूपेण इन द फॉर्म ऑफ लॉर्ड हंस ब्रह्मणे unto Lord Brahma, Abhyatha, you spoke, Madhava, my dear Madhava, Saha, that, knowledge of religious principles. Idanim, presently. Sumahata, after very long. Kalena, time. Amitra Karshana, O subduer of the enemy. Na, not. Prayaha, generally. Bhavita, will exist. Martyaloke, in human society. Prak, previously. Anushashita, instructed. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. My dear Lord, O mighty armed one, previously in your form of Lord Hamsa, you spoke to Lord Brahma those religious principles that bring supreme happiness to the practitioner. My dear Madhava, now much time has passed, and that which you previously instructed will soon practically cease to exist, O subduer of the enemy. Since there is no purport, we will read the subsequent verses. Texts 5 and 6. Vakta karta vitananyo dharmasya chuta te bhuvi sabhayam api vairinchyam yatra murti dhara kala kartra vitra pravaktra cha bhavata madhusudana tyakte mahitale deva vinashtam ka pravakshati. Translation. My dear Lord Achyuta, there is no speaker, creator and protector of supreme religious principles other than your Lordship, either on the earth or even in the assembly of Lord Brahma, where the personified Vedas reside. Thus, my Lord, dear Lord Madhusudana, when you who are the very creator, protector and speaker of spiritual knowledge abandon the earth, who will again speak this lost knowledge? Text 7. Tattvam na sarva dharmajna dharmastvad bhakti lakshanah yathayasya vidhiyeta tatha varnayame prabho. Translation. Therefore, my Lord, since you are the knower of all religious principles, please describe to me the human beings who may execute the path of loving service to you and how such service is to be rendered. Text 8. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ittham Svabhritya Mukhena Prishta Sa Bhagavan Hari Prita Kshemaya Martyanam Dharman Aha Sanatanan. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Shri Uddhava, the best of devotees, thus inquired from the Lord. Hearing his question, the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, was pleased, and for the welfare of all conditioned souls, spoke these religious principles that are eternal. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Dharmya Esha Tava Prashno, Nahire Shreyasa Karo Nranam, Varnashramacha Charavatam, Tam Uddhava Nibodame. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, your question is faithful to religious principles and thus gives rise to the highest perfection in life, pure devotional service, for both ordinary human beings and the followers of the Varnashram system. Now please learn from me those supreme religious principles. Purport. The word Nai Shreyasakara indicates that which awards the highest perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, which the Lord is explaining to Sri Uddhava. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane considerations. The process that awards the highest perfection of life should be considered the most auspicious for human beings. The Varnashram system is the most scientific presentation of religiosity on the earth, and those who are most perfect in that system come to the point of Krishna consciousness or dedicating everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, your question is faithful to religious principles and thus gives rise to the highest perfection in life, pure devotional service for both ordinary human beings and the followers of the Varnashram system. Now, please learn from me these supreme religious principles. Hare Krishna. So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, my elders, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, so I speak on this topic. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this 17th chapter, Uddhava now makes a request to the Supreme Lord Krishna. He requests him to explain that how all human beings can achieve loving service, pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord simply by the execution of their prescribed duties. And as we read just now in the previous verses, he mentions to the Supreme Lord that you are the person who is, you know, who has given this knowledge. You are the speaker, you are the creator, you are the maintainer of these principles, and you gave it to Lord Brahma. But now a lot of time has passed and some of these principles are lost, and now you are also going to leave this material world. So then, you know, these principles might be lost. So therefore he begs of Lord Krishna, who is the creator, protector and speaker of spiritual knowledge, to speak this knowledge again. He requests him to speak this knowledge about Varnashram again. So Krishna, in this verse, he starts his response. First he acknowledges Uddhava for the question he's asked. saying that this is for the welfare of everybody. And then he starts his response in this chapter. So in this chapter, actually, the Supreme Lord Krishna, he covers a lot of topics, actually. And we should be so grateful. We are so fortunate. We are living in this Kali Yuga, which is filled with faults, which is filled with so many problems. People in general today are not religious by nature. Earlier, you know, people were religious, either they were mostly religious and a few were atheists. And a very small percentage of people were what we call agnostics, who don't care whether God exists or doesn't exist. It doesn't make any difference to them anyway. But over a period of time now, if we see, it is fashionable to be an atheist. And more and more people, especially the young generation, are becoming what is called agnostic. Where, hey, I don't really care. You know, okay, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't. It doesn't make a difference to me. So, very unfortunate situation. And this is becoming more and more prevalent. And in that situation, we are so fortunate to have the great blessing, the benediction of Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been translated by Srila Prabhupada and his disciples after him, where all the instructions given by the Supreme Lord to his devotees is preserved in pristine, pure condition. And passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation, thousands of years. And even today, we're able to sit here in middle of South Mumbai and, you know, discuss these wonderful principles. What a benediction. What a blessing we have. And it is because Uddhava has asked this question. Now just imagine, if Uddhava did not ask this question. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Arjuna asks questions. Therefore, Krishna gives the answers. And here also Uddhava is asking questions. Therefore Krishna, in so much detail in this chapter, gives all the details about the origin of the Varnashram system. How did it start? Where does this originate from? Then he speaks about all the qualities of the different Varnas and different Ashrams. So it is very clear. You know, today there is so much confusion. It is only branded as one caste system. No one knows anything beyond that about this Varnashram. It is only branded as a caste system and is heavily looked down upon. For all the right reasons. Because today it is misused completely and misunderstood completely. But Krishna gives so much clarity in this. You know, the Gita, he speaks one verse. Like yesterday, Prabhuji mentioned, Radhavalla Prabhu mentioned. You know, Krishna speaks one verse in the Gita, that Chaturvarnam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. So he gives just the, you know, just the jhalak. Here in this chapter, he gives in great detail explanation of all the qualities. That what are the qualities of a Brahmana, what are the qualities of a Vaishya, Shudra, you know, Kshatriya, what are the qualities of the different ashramas. Very clearly he gives what are the qualities. He speaks about what are the practices and occupations of these different varnas and ashrams also. He gives that also. And, you know, finally he speaks about how, you know, one can perfect one's life, come to the point of pure devotional service by just practicing Varanashram, the Daivi Varanashram properly. So Krishna, in this, you know, in this verse and in this whole chapter, it is given, an indication is given that even if one has not, as he has explained in the previous chapters, come to the point of pure bhakti, one has still not come to the point of practicing sadhana bhakti, practicing pure bhakti, still simply by being part of this Varanashram system, which has been created by whom? It has been created by Krishna only. Everything that Krishna creates, everything that he has created and given to us is perfect. It's perfect and complete. And you know, it is very beautifully organized also. Like we see, Krishna, when he creates, you know, when this whole material creation has been created, everything has been created in such a way that they wonderfully coexist with each other. It is us humans who come and destroy the balance, destroy the principles, or try to destroy the principles that have been created by the Supreme Lord and by Lord Brahma. whatever balance has been created, whatever ecosystem has been created, is actually perfect. It balances each other. But we come and we disturb it. In the same way, this Varnashram system which has been created by the Supreme Lord is actually perfect. But we are the ones who come and completely destroy it. Over a period of time, especially with the age of Kali, as Prabhuji mentioned yesterday, that in the age of Kali, you know, everything gets corrupted. The whole basis of this Varnashram system is the purity of the Brahmanas. The purity, the correct intentions, the knowledge, the austerity, and the, you know, their compassion to give this knowledge to all other sections of society. That is the foundation of this. But in Kali Yuga, just by the influence of time, this purity is gone. And because the Brahmanas became impure, then all the other things started falling. So we'll discuss that few points. So in current day and age, if you look at, when considering this, as it is mentioned in this purport, very significant point, is mentioned that when considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian mundane considerations. It's a very heavy statement. So that even when people are trying to or professing to follow certain religious faith, that hey, I am Hindu, hey, I am so and so, I am that, I am this. So when they are professing to follow a certain religious faith, really they are not getting into the essence. Nobody is interested in the essence. People are more interested to enter a temple, you know, to forcibly enter a temple which has been banned for time immemorial, to forcibly enter a temple, not because they want to worship, but because they want to prove a point of gender equality. So the worship is, wo to baju mein reh gaya, that is not there. But the focus is, I want to prove the point of gender equality. Then they are more keen on building a temple. Hame ek mandir banana hai. We want to make the temple. Mandir bana ke rahenge. So they all want to build a temple. But that temple is not being built with the concept that I want to worship Lord Ram. Lord Ram who created this beautiful Ram Rajya. We want to bring Ram Rajya back. We want to follow the principles that Lord Ram taught us. We want to live by the lifestyle that the Ayodhya Vasis lived. Nothing of that sort. That is not there in the picture at all. Everyone is only focused on what? We want to build a temple. More people are interested in control, in money, in power, in the name of religion, than actually spreading religion. You know, so this is, of course, one cannot make a general statement, but very often this is what is observed, that people are more interested in these things than actually, you know, spreading religion, taking their religion, understanding what have their prophets told them, what have their gurus and sadhus told them in the past, what have their acharyas taught them, rather than understanding the essence, applying it to one's life completely, becoming convinced, purified, and then with that purification going and preaching to others. No. Idea is bring more people, become more powerful. So it's so unfortunate. So this point that is meant here, sectarian, mundane, you know, considerations. People are more interested in quotas and reservations in India today. In the name of this caste system, people are more interested in what? Quotas, reservations for the downtrodden, for the inequality in society. We want to bring some, quota and reservation, which is okay, which is understandable. But the focus is more on these reservations and quotas than a spiritual system. This Varnashram is a spiritual system which has been organized and created by whom? Not by you and me. It is a Paurusheya. It is created by the Supreme Lord, who is Achyuta, who is infallible. He has created this system. So, this system, amidst material disparity, amidst a material world where there is great disparity, There is very super rich. There is very super poor. There is, you know, all kinds of disparity is there in terms of Aishwarya in this material world. Complete disparity. But amidst all this disparity, this Varnashram system has the capability to create spiritual equality. Spiritually, if we really follow the Daivi Varnashram system as it was designed by the Lord, as it was meant to be followed, it creates a system of spiritual equality. Where everyone understands that I am who? Das Dasanu Das. I am servant of the servant of the servant. I am not any master. I am not any powerful person. I have just been placed in this situation according to my previous karma, according to my previous desires. I have just been placed in this situation. Now it is my privilege. It is not my right. It is my privilege in this particular situation that I have been placed, how I can serve the rest of society. How I can be a properly serving member in this Varnashram system so that I can benefit my life also and I can benefit everyone else's life also. So, in the purport it is mentioned that this Varnashram system is the most scientific presentation of religiosity on earth. So, I was trying to think about how to, you know, elaborate on this point. I could not really think of any meaningful points, but I'll just share what came to my mind. So, this Varnashram system is so wonderfully designed actually. It has a place for everyone according to their qualities and their actions. Guna and karma. So, any combination of qualities you take and any combination of kind of activities that one is performing, there is some place in the Varnashram system for everybody. Now, the beautiful part of this is that it applies to all parts of the world. It is not that Varnashram system is meant only for those who are followers of Sanatana Dharma. Ki, hey, are you following Sanatana Dharma? You are? Okay, then you can be in Varnashram. Otherwise, no, sorry, no place for you. It's not that it is meant only for little broader, only for the Hindus. It is not that it is meant only for the Indians or Asians. It is meant for the entire universe. Entire universe. We only know about the earth, planet and people who live here. But this is meant for everybody. And it's anything that the Lord has created is actually, its basis is so fundamental, so wonderful, that it applies to everybody. And it applies to all time. You know, like Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says, you know, that the principles that are spoken by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, he says these are not meant only for, you know, only for Arjuna or for only for us. It is meant for all human beings. All. Every single aspect. He says, when Krishna says that you are not this body, you are the soul, it's not that it applies only to the Indians. It applies to everyone. Right? When Krishna says, whatever principles he gives in the Gita are applicable to everyone. And it is not like it was applicable only at that time. You know, oh, that was applicable in Dwapar Yuga. You know, Kali Yuga, different principles apply. No. Same principle applies to everybody at all times. The answers that are given in the Gita are applicable to all problems of life. You know, people may take any problem and there is an answer available in the Gita. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is also like that. So this principle of Varnashram is a universal principle and applies to all parts of the world and all sections of society and all age groups also. So beautifully it has been designed and given in such a way by the Lord that, you know, you may be any age group. You may be a small child. So it's not that only after you are 25, you'll become part of Varnashram. No. Even a small child is part of Varnashram. You may be a very old person who's about to leave his body. You are not excluded. You are included. So all age groups, all types of people. So again, this is the only thing I could think of in terms of scientific, which excludes nobody. Everyone is included, all sections, all geographies, all age groups. And the best part is it leads to collaborative working between all cross sections of society. So this is one of the biggest arguments against Varnashram system. But really, if you look at it the way Srila Prabhupada has explained it, it is the most wonderful system where everyone can collaborate wonderfully. All cross sections of society can collaborate from the perspective of what occupation you are following, whatever your occupation is, which is your Varna, and whatever stage of life you may be in, which is your Ashram. So whatever occupation you are following and whatever stage of life you are in, all these combinations can wonderfully coexist. So let us try to understand how that works. So it is said that there are these four Varnas and four Ashramas. The four Varnas are what? There are the Brahmanas, there are the Kshatriyas, there are the Vaishyas, and there are Shudras. So the first thing is to understand is that all of these four Varnas are what is called symbiotic. We say symbiotic relationship, you know, in nature, in material nature, we see that there is symbiotic relationship between, you know, different living entities. Like a tree, you know, like a tree has got something living on it, that living entity that's living on the tree contributes to the tree, and the tree contributes to the living entity. The tree sustains that living entity, and that living entity then contributes to the growth and, you know, further generations of that tree. That's what is called symbiotic. In the same way, the four Varnas are actually designed to be symbiotic. So, for example, the Brahmanas, what do they do for the other three Varnas? They guide them. They give them spiritual knowledge. They give them the understanding that what should be done in this situation of life. They give guidance. So, they guide the three Varnas. Then if you look at the Kshatriyas, what is their symbiotic relationship? The Kshatriyas actually protect and administer. They create systems, they create kingdoms, they create, you know, all kinds of places to stay. So they protect and give shelter on a physical level to all the other Varnas, to the Brahmanas, to the Vaishyas, and to the Shudras. What is the contribution of the Vaishyas? In the Vaishyas, what do they do for the other Varnas? They produce goods. They produce goods and they feed and nourish the other three Varnas. By producing goods, by creating an economy and money that is created, from that they actually support the other three Varnas. And finally, the Shudras, they are also symbiotic. What do? They serve the other three Varnas. Then in the ashrams also, if you see the four ashrams that are there, which is the Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, even these have been designed in a beautiful way where each stage of life is meant for a particular set of activities. So when we are in the Brahmachari ashram, the whole focus is on what? It's on training and serving. That's it. So the Brahmachari is focused on learning, training, getting, you know, educated in different aspects of life. See, not just the Brahmachari who is living in the temple, even a person who is unmarried, who is part of the Varnashram system, who is living in home, that person also can adhere to these principles. What are the principles given? I mean, going forward, Krishna speaks about them. Purity, being celibate, being, you know, serving the parents. There it is, you know, you will not be living with the guru, but you are living with the parents. So serving the parents, respecting the teachers, serving the teachers in whatever way. Brahmachari can be in any place, can be at home and can be in the temple. But the principles don't change. So again, from geography does not change the principles. It's the same principle. Then the next ashram is the ashram of Grihastha, where whatever training has been given, whatever you have learnt, whatever education you have received, material or spiritual, that knowledge is then utilized according to the guna. according to the guna that that person has inherited from previous lifetimes, according to the guna he has been brought up in, he or she has been brought up in, according to that, the person then executes. The Grihastha Ashram is about executing on whatever principles you have learnt, whatever values your parents have given you, whatever teachings your guru and teachers have given you. We execute that for the next 25, 30, 40 years of our life. Then, after the Grihastha thing, there is the Vanaprastha, Vanaprastha Ashram. In Vanaprastha Ashram, the concept is that now that you have already received knowledge, so knowledge is already there. Over and above that, you have served society for the last so many years. You have served your society, you have served your parents, you have served your children, you have served, your guru, you have done whatever you could. Now, and you have also had your share of sense gratification as a Grihastha, you have had. So now, renounce. Leave all these and now fully engage yourself in the service of Guru and Krishna. Of course, in today's day and age, there is no feasibility of Vanaprastha, going to the forest. But Vanaprastha in today's day and age means that leaving the forest of material world and trying to engage our consciousness more and more in spiritual activities. So that is the next stage. And finally, the sannyas is about renouncing the world. So very beautifully organized for every stage of life and for every occupation, how these beautifully kind of support each other. Even amongst the four ashrams, it is described that it is the role of the Grihastha to materially support the other three ashrams. Because the Brahmachari doesn't have any source of income. Vanaprastha does not have any source of income. Sannyasi doesn't have any source of income. So it is the Grihastha who may be either a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, Shudra, or maybe even a Brahmana. It is the role of the Grihastha to the best of his ability to perform his duty and at the same time give in charity as much as one can so that one is able to support the other three ashrams. So see how beautifully the whole thing has been arranged so that each varna and each ashram is actually supporting one another. Beautifully it has been designed. Then, of course, as Prabhuji mentioned yesterday also, there is a very high dependence and responsibility at the same time on the Brahmanas for this whole thing to work. Unfortunately, with the age of Kali, this is the first thing that breaks down. As it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Srila Prabhupada mentions that with the advent of Kali, the Brahmanas, they started losing their potency. And the moment the Brahmanas, how the system breaks down, it's like if you take a building, we take a big building, and in that building there are many pillars and beams that are supporting the building. If you take a sledgehammer and you break down one of the pillars, what happens? Moment one pillar is broken, the pillar that is adjoining it, that also starts, kind of creaking and complaining. Hey, this pillar is not doing its job. It's becoming tough for me now. I have to support, I have to take his load also. So he also starts cracking. When he cracks, the one next to him says, "Arey, if both of you are gone, then what will I do? I also will crack." And then soon enough, the whole building comes crashing down. So in the same way, as Prabhuji mentioned yesterday, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas became corrupted. And the moment they become corrupt, what is their role? They are supposed to, guide. They are supposed to guide. Because they become corrupted, if the person who is supposed to guide becomes an exploiter, what happens? Those who are taking his guidance till now, people understand. See, even in today's day and age, if somebody is posing as a spiritual person, but is only interested in the money of his followers, people understand. Even in today's day and age, though, Kali Yuga, people are less intelligent, but still people understand. ki after some, they may take some time, but then they understand ki, hey, he's only trying to exploit. So in the past, it was all, people were far more intelligent. So the moment they saw that by head of society is, you know, has lost it, immediately the Kshatriyas also, they stopped supporting the Brahmanas. Why should I follow? He is himself not following the principles which he is speaking about. So this concept of practice what you preach was probably never there in the Vedic times. Well, everyone was practicing, as it is mentioned in the subsequent verses. In Satyuga, there was no Varnashram because everyone was spiritual. Everyone was fully surrendered to the Lord. So there is no concept of any division of society. Varnashram comes in from Treta. So, in Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas fall down, the Kshatriyas stop following them. They also start thinking only in terms of power. That, okay, now I must control what kingdom I have. I must increase my control. Then the Vaishyas are thinking, who were giving tax till now, they are thinking that for this king I am giving tax. For this king, for these kind of Brahmanas I am giving charity. Sorry, I don't want to do it. And then the Shudras are also thinking that, hey, why should I serve these people? Let me do my own thing. So the whole system breaks down. If one link, and the most important link of the chain, the Brahmanas, if they are not pure, then the whole system breaks down. So, however, in this system, when it is implemented honestly and with purity and with the right intentions, no matter what your material birth is, you may be born anywhere, any kind of family, no matter what your material situation is, you may be very poor, you may be very rich, no matter what your skills are, you may be extremely skilled person, or you may be completely unskilled. No matter what your qualities are, you may be, you know, whatever, you may be most adham of all human beings, or you may be most purified. One can live a relatively happy, peaceful life while on this earth. And then at the end of this lifetime, one is assured of a better destination. If one just simply follows this system. And Krishna mentions that this, how this Varnashram system ultimately brings one to the point of pure bhakti. So how does this work? So let us examine each of the four Varnas and see that how this works. That Brahmanas, what is the intention of the Varna system? That the Brahmanas live a life of a pure life of austerity. And what do? They don't have any means of income. They have no means of income. So what do? They fully depend on the Lord. They don't even depend on any master. They don't depend, hey, I am connected with this Kshatriya, so he is my master. No. Because if that Kshatriya goes away, it's not as if, oh, now he is gone, so who will support me? Because they are only depending on the Lord. That whatever Krishna gives, I will accept. If he doesn't give, that's also fine. If he gives, that's also fine. And they don't keep too much. Even if something comes, even if lavish gifts come, they don't keep it. They also give it away. Because as in the dharma of a grihastha, if they are grihastas and they are getting opulence, they give it away. They don't keep it. What is their only occupation? Their occupation is to teach and preach. Their only occupation is to teach and preach. And this life of purity and renunciation automatically increases their dependence on Krishna. So if you see, if you read, you know, the scriptures, we see examples of Brahmanas who lived like this. Vasishtha, for example, was, of course, the Ramayana is full of examples, of beautiful examples of the Varnashram system. So Vasishtha Muni, for example, he was living in the court of Dashrath. Completely, he was living there. He had no source of income, but Dashrath Maharaj was completely dependent on Vasishtha, and Vasishtha was depending on Dashrath Maharaj. But of course, the final dependence is on the Supreme Lord. If Vasishtha is not, if Dashrath is not there, someone else will be there. The Lord will protect. So this is the role of a Brahmana. How, by leading a pure life, automatically their dependence on Krishna keeps on increasing. Then we take the Kshatriyas. What is the role of the Kshatriyas? The Kshatriyas, Kshati Trayate Iti Kshatriya. So they are the ones who are supposed to protect from harm. What kind of harm? physical harm, spiritual harm, both. So the Kshatriyas were the ones, what would they do? They would serve the Brahmanas and they would take guidance from them. In all decisions, all important decisions, the Kshatriyas would take guidance from the Brahmanas related to administering the kingdom. And by taking guidance and not independently, whimsically taking decisions. See, today what is the malaise, what is the sickness that is affecting the political system of the country? That people take decisions without proper guidance. They don't know that I feel, my intelligence tells me, I am a Kshatriya, I am a political leader, I feel that this is what we should do. Now, even if the intention is correct, most of the time it is not. Most of the time the intention for taking any decision, any political decision is what? So that I remain in this position. Nobody is bothered about what's good for citizens, what is good for my country, what is good for my state. Nobody is bothered. Everyone is only interested in what? That how can I retain my seat? But in the past, the kings were not interested in retaining the seat. There was never a concept of retaining the kingdom. So the kingdom was theirs. It was given to them and it was with them. And they deserved it also. Not that they just got it. They had to deserve it. And because they deserved it, they got the kingdom. And then with that kingdom, they would serve the Brahmanas, take guidance from them in all decisions. So therefore, the decisions that they took were based on the guidance given by whom? Pure, unmotivated Brahmanas. Who don't have any motivation. Hey, if he follows this, what I am telling, I will become more powerful. No. They were not interested. They would only give the right guidance based on scripture. And therefore, by taking the association of these Brahmanas, these pure devotees, and by serving them and following them and taking their training, what did these kings become? They became Rajarishis. And finally, they would, you know, renounce the world. At some point of time, so much, you know, association of the sadhus, at some point of time they would say, okay, that's it. I am leaving this kingdom now to my, you know, next generation and I am going to live with the sadhus. So they would renounce and go. And so many, Bhagavatam is again full of examples of that. You see Maharaj Bharat, Maharaj Chitraketu, Dasharath Maharaj. So all these people would live like Rajarishis. They would rule their kingdom like Rajarishis, Amrish Maharaj. But at the appropriate time, just leave everything like it is stool and just go into the forest. That this is no longer. Now my next stage of life has started. Vanaprastha started, so now no longer. I don't want this. Just leave it and go. Then the Vaishyas. The Vaishyas, what do they do? Their whole focus is on increasing enterprise, increasing money. And that is their nature. That's the nature that they have inherited. And that nature is needed. Because if nobody does it, then the rest of the varnas and ashrams will collapse. You see, each of these roles is so important. Brahmana doesn't do his role, varnashram collapses. Kshatriya doesn't do his role of protecting, administering the kingdom properly, varnashram collapses. The Vaishyas don't do their role properly of, you know, agriculture, cow protection, enterprise. They don't do it, society collapses. Shudras don't do their role properly of doing what role has been given to them. They don't do it properly. Everything collapses. So it's not that it's only the Brahmanas. Everyone has to do their role properly. Then this society works perfectly. So what did they do? They would increase the enterprise again with guidance only. They would also take, even today we see sometimes, you know, some devotees we see in our congregation who do not take any business decision without first taking guidance from their Guru Maharaj. They take guidance that, Maharaj, I plan to do this now. What do you think? Now, it is not that the guru will tell that you do this or you do that. You know, but they want to take that blessings. They want to take the guidance. That, you know, am I on the right path? So, this principle was there from time immemorial. That even the Vaishyas, they would call Brahmanas to their home. They would serve them. They would give charity. And they would take instructions from them. And with those instructions, they would get the intelligence what to do. And they would very nicely do this. They would get protection from the Kshatriyas and with their profits, what money they were making, with that they would serve the Brahmanas, they would pay taxes to the Kshatriyas and they would give occupation to the Shudras, by which then they would be able to sustain their lives and families. And because of their dependence on these other, because of their taking guidance from the Brahmanas, and because of their heavy dependence on material nature, no business in this world can operate without dependence on material nature. We all accept this. There is no business in this world that can operate without cooperation of material nature. So material nature is providing everything for business. And the Vaishya knows this. So his dependence on material nature in conjunction with the instructions he is getting from the Brahmanas increases his understanding that ultimately everything is coming from the Supreme Lord. And he starts depending on the Supreme Lord. And finally, the Shudras, they serve the three Varanas. Their role is they are serving all the three Varanas, for which what? They receive three things. For the service that they provide, they receive three things. First, they receive their compensation, which is required. They need that compensation by which they can protect their family, they can, you know, raise a family, they can nourish their family, whatever. The second thing they receive is, so from the Vaishyas they get compensation. From the Kshatriyas they get protection. That nobody can just come and usurp my property. Someone cannot just come and kidnap my children, take away my wife. Protection is there. The Kshatriyas are meant to protect, create systems, create laws, create an army which will protect at all times, create police. So the Shudras feel protected. I do my job, I am paid for it, and I am protected. And they receive spiritual guidance from the Brahmanas, which again ultimately takes them closer to Krishna. So by serving the Brahmanas, we see in the example of Narad Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the four Mahabhagavats who stayed at his house during the 4 months of Chaturmasya, but he and his mother were serving there. By serving those Mahabhagavats for 4 months, he became a pure devotee. So by the mercy of each, by serving each other, this beautiful Daivi Varanashram system, you know, is able to slowly but surely elevate the consciousness of the people who are part of it. At that time, one Varanashram would compete with another for better adherence to dharma. Like for example, in the previous ages we see that, you know, one kingdom would capture another kingdom, especially if the dharma of that kingdom was coming down, because the Brahmanas were not pure, the kings were not following the Brahmanas, and they were, you know, harassing the citizens rather than serving them. If they were harassing the citizens, then other kings would come and usurp those kingdoms. They would capture those kingdoms and re-establish dharma there. So it's a beautiful system where everything is put in place again. And the concept of subjugation, subjugating another country, was also based on dharma only and better protection. That I will provide better protection and I will bring this, or I will attempt to bring this kingdom under the principles of Sanatan Dharma. So that's why the Rajasuya Yajna was about bringing the entire world, whatever kingdoms are there across the world, dharma is being followed in some way. But about bringing the entire world under a federated system, under common dharma. That Baba, you follow, you do your king, you rule your kingdom. But because you are connected with me, Yudhishthir, who is Dharmaraj, not that he is thinking like that, but the system is like that. That because they are all connected with Dharmaraj, who is the greatest follower of dharma in this world, therefore, even those kingdoms are naturally obliged to follow the same kind of dharmic principles. They may rule their kingdom the way they want. There is no interference there. But from a dharma perspective, they are expected to follow. Beautiful system. And this concept exists even today, but in a perverted form. Even today we see that India is a big country. It's a huge country. If we actually try to visit all the cities and towns in India, one lifetime is not enough. There's so many cities and towns in this country. Huge country. But this whole big country is is ruled by one constitution. There is one law book which has been written, which is supposed to rule and govern all people living in this country. But still, there is a country and there is a states concept. That's the federated concept, as it is called, where the states have their own independence. They have their own leaders. They have their own religious customs. They have their own, of course, that is not as per, you know, Sanatan Dharma, but they have their own religious customs. They have their own language. They have their own food. They have their own music. They have their own culture. They have their own dance. Everything is unique. It is a miracle that India exists as a country, because there are 26 different forms of languages and music and food. But still, as a whole, we are one country. This is the concept of Varnashram only. But it has been corrupted. So when people do, coming back, that how all this system is connected, when people actually perform the duties of Varnashram properly, everyone does their duties properly. The Brahmanas do their duties, as we discussed. Kshatriyas do their duty of protection and administration. The Vaishyas do their duties of, you know, creating enterprise, creating Lakshmi, and then giving it back to society in form of tax or charity or salary. When the Shudras form their duties, do their duties, everyone does their duties properly. What does it do? Each person, in the process of performing this Daivi Varnashram system, Varnashram system, when it is connected for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, it becomes Daivi Varnashram system. So Varnashram system is wonderful and perfect in itself. But when the whole purpose of this Varnashram system is to please the Supreme Lord, then it becomes Daivi Varnashram system. And when people follow their duties in Daivi Varnashram system properly, it creates what is called Agyat Sukriti. There is Gyat Sukriti and there is Agyat Sukriti. So there is also the concept of of following Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So that is also, you know, very nicely connected with this Varnashram system. So when one is following all this nicely, it brings a lot of Agyat Sukriti. It brings a lot of pious credits. What does that bring? It brings blessings. So the demigods are pleased that someone is following his duty properly. The Supreme Lord is pleased. The Brahmanas are pleased. Parents are pleased. If someone is just following Varnashram properly, serving the parents, serving the children, serving society, parents also feel happy. Arey, I have a nice, you know, nice children. They feel very proud. They feel very happy. They also give their blessings. The other Varnas and Ashrams, you are part of one Varna and one Ashram. But because you are doing your duty properly, the other Varnas and other Ashrams profusely shower blessings. They are also giving blessings. What do these blessings do? The blessings coming from the demigods, from the Lord, from the other Varnas, from parents. What do these blessings do? They increase our renunciation, they increase our knowledge. And ultimately, what do? They attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. They attract the mercy of Shishi Radha Gopinath, and he then connects us to the devotees. Brings us in connection to the Vaishnavas, brings us in connection to pure bhakti, which then ultimately elevates us to the highest platform of life. So it is, again, to end, it is our greatest fortune that we have been exposed to this wonderful, extremely scientific and not at all birth-based system of Varnashram by the mercy of our acharyas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have got the essence of this Daivi Varnashram system. And in that, we have the fortune of hearing these instructions from Srila Prabhupada, from our Guru, who have taught us that the essence of this Daivi Varnashram system is to surrender to the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gopinath by taking shelter of the process of bhakti, by chanting the holy names, by worshipping the deities, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the Vaishnavas, by living in a holy place. By doing all of these things, we are able to perfect our lives in this lifetime itself and go back to the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? One question? Anybody? Question or comments? Anybody? Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.